back to the Cattle Menu podcast. I'm Caroline Rose, the founder and CEO of K Rose Company and Cattle Menu. Thank you for joining us on this episode. I'm excited to bring you these conversations each week filled with relatable advice and techniques you can take back to your operation. It's my mission to make sure that we can ranch in the next generation. Make sure and subscribe where you're listening so you never miss a new episode. Welcome to another episode of the Cattle Menu Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline, and today Jordan is going to be interviewing me on my experience working on an Angus operation in Australia when I was in college, and she's just going to be asking a few questions about that experience, so I get to share that with you guys. So we're excited to have Jordan here.
Well, thank you for including me in this episode. I've always found this experience of yours super interesting and exciting. One of the first questions I have is, how did you discover this opportunity to go to Australia, and what were the steps to get approved to go, get all the flights, kind of all of the work prior to actually getting to Australia? What was that like?
So I have to give you guys a little context. This has been 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I think it was the year I turned 21, so it would have been coming up on 11 years ago. And I had spent the summer before in Uganda and Dubai, Israel, London, and Morocco. And so I kind of had this travel bug. And in college, all they preach is internships, right? You hear that all the time. You have to do an internship. You need to do an internship. Think outside the box. Do an internship. And I said, well, I really want to go to Australia, and I'm going to find an internship in Australia. And I searched the interwebs. When I think about my parents, I cannot believe they let us go on any of these international trips as college students, but the world was a little different then, and I was not finding an internship that I loved or even really a good opportunity. So what I ended up doing is I emailed the Red Meat Council in Australia, and I explained my situation. I was a college student studying animal science at Montana State University, and I wanted to spend my summer do an internship in Australia, and I asked if they had any connections. Sure enough, they emailed me back and they said, we do have some connections and we would love to have you. Here is who responded, and they gave me the contact information of a large seed stock producer in Australia, and they said he would love to have you on his southern ranch, and they're calving. It's calving season. So you're welcome to come down and join and spend the summer, May and June, with him calving cows. And as soon as I got approved, I immediately said, could I bring a friend to this internship? Because I kind of got a little nervous. And they said, sure, but I could not find anyone that I knew really well. And so one day in college, I just was talking out loud and someone came up and said, hey, I heard you're going to Australia. Can I join you? And his name was Ben. And I said, sure. So Ben and I went to Australia and we booked our plane tickets about 2 weeks before we left. We booked one-way plane tickets to Australia. We left middle of May and we ended up coming home mid-July.
I guess the question I have is, how did you have the courage to like ask those people, and what were the thoughts? I know that can be difficult to like put your foot out there and like ask difficult questions like that. So what advice do you have for people when they have to put themselves in uncomfortable situations like that?
Even today, the thing that I always remind myself is the answer is already no. So I already didn't have an internship in Australia. What was the worst that could happen if I asked? And to be honest, it was a pretty interesting experience. I don't know, good or bad, but it was not probably an experience I would recommend on the particular ranch I worked at and just the particular setup. But it just was one of those things. I was like, what is the harm in asking? And it's still something I think about today. Actually, I'm applying for something at the moment that if I get it will be public, and I have to have a letter of reference. And I literally this morning said, you just have to ask. Like, they are already not writing you a letter of reference. If you don't ask, they won't write you a letter. Like, so the answer is already no. You already have the worst answer. The best answer would be yes.
Once you got to Australia, what were some of your typical day-to-day activities? And did they change throughout the duration of the time there?
So we flew into Sydney, which is, I think, the major area in Australia. And we actually, so we flew in there and we did a little touring. We saw, you know, a little bit of the countryside. We met the man and his family that we were going to work for. And then we flew all the way across to the west side. And that is really where we dove into agriculture. We spent about a week driving around and viewing co-op herds. This was really the first time I had heard of this concept, where a seed stock producer will partner with a commercial producer to raise bulls that then are sold in his sale. And in the US, I think at the time it probably was happening way more than we knew about it. It was a little bit more hush-hush. Now it's coming out to light a little bit more. People will list their cooperative producers in catalogs and things like that. But it wasn't a concept that I was really familiar with. So we went to all of these commercial operations and we just chatted with them, looked at their operation, looked at the grass, everything like that. And so that was really the first week. So we got to see a lot of ranches. We got to see a lot of country. We got to see a lot of cattle. And that was one of my favorite parts, is just seeing everyone's different operation, meeting the farmers and ranchers, and all of that. So then when we got to the ranch, which was kind of in Southwest Australia, I'll find some photos and include them in the show notes of where we were. Our job was calving out the 3 to 7 year old cows. And man, it was quite an experience. I don't even know where to start, but we pretty much were just in charge of calving. That's why they had hired us. The ranch manager, he was in charge of calving out the old cows and the 2 year olds. And so when we got there, we were not calving yet. So we were preparing for calving, making sure everything had vaccinations, moving cattle, getting them all arranged to the right, they call them paddocks, the right areas. Ben and I lived in a house actually with a guy named Keon. And Keon was from Ireland and he wanted a work visa in Australia. And in order to have a work visa, don't quote me on the facts, but you have to work in agriculture for 30 or 60 days in order to get a work visa, which is a really great idea. And so he came to live with us. And so it was Ben and I and Keon in this little house. It was raining the entire time to set the scene. I think it rained every single day. We had no hot water because it was solar water. And we did not have a dryer. And I remember every single day we just would go out and work. We'd come inside. We'd sit by the fire. We were so cold. We had no hot water, nothing like that. We were trying to boil water to make colostrum. We were boiling water on the stove, trying to get it the right temperature because there's no microwaves. And so our whole experience, we were there to calve. And the cows that we were calving were really close to our house. But then we ended up, some of the stories I'm sure I'll tell, we had to go over to the manager's house and help him with some of those heifers.
What was your favorite part of the experience?
I think my favorite part was just seeing how different it was. And also it was really empowering to just do it. And the thing, so to back up a little bit, in Australia, again, it's, don't quote me on facts, but it's really hard to fire someone or to be fired. And the ranch manager at the ranch was awful. And I say that so nicely, but he was really, really bad. And so almost immediately when we arrived, he was communicating with the owners, telling the owners how bad we were because he didn't want kind of his secrets to get out to the owner because it was a pretty pristine job. And so immediately he was like, these kids know nothing. They haven't helped me with anything. And so as part of our internship, we had to write a report. And so we started sending the owner the report that we sent to the school. And I think he learned very quickly that we did know what we were doing. We knew 80% of what we were doing. And there was some bigger issues. So actually, after I left, Ben stayed for 2 weeks and the owner came over and fired the ranch manager. But so I think my favorite piece is we had a lot of freedom because the ranch manager was awful. And so he didn't really check on us. And so neither Ben nor I had calved out, I think it was 400 or 500 cows. And I mean, it was quick work, right? Neither of us had really done that. And so it was a lot of experimenting. Also, one of the things that is a little different, again, this is 11 years ago, but they didn't really try to save baby calves, which at the time I had a cow-calf herd of probably 8. So I did anything to save a calf. And so that was a really interesting concept to us. And so they would say, do whatever you want. Like, we normally don't give them colostrum, we don't bring them inside, anything like that. And so we got to try a lot of things that maybe we had learned in school or seen someone do that we didn't really know if would work. So I really enjoyed that. But just the ounce of freedom that we had to really make mistakes and try was really cool. It's just amazing to see the differences. The people were great too. So there was another employee, Pete and Donna, and they did more of the farming side on the ranch, but they had 2 little girls that would come over all the time, and they loved, you know, being involved in the cows. And so the people were really great, but the culture in agriculture is probably my favorite part.
Are you looking for a way to make positive steps towards your goals and have a community to support you on your journey? The Cattlemen U Collective is our revamped online membership community for ranch women to connect and learn ranch skills. We will be covering our 6 pillar topics, money, cattle, relationships, home, faith, and cooking each month. The collective is perfect for the ranch woman who is yearning for community that will meet her where she's at and challenge her to reach new, bigger goals. You can join as a monthly member today at the link down below.
What was the most difficult part of this experience?
The most difficult part was trying to adapt and overcome to the previous mistakes. So one of the things is the cattle were really off on their nutrients. So much so that I didn't really understand it. I'm not sure I understand it today. But the calves would be born, stand up, and start eating sand. Before they would even be interested in nursing, they are eating substantial amount of sand. And I remember thinking, this is an issue, you know, and is there anything we can do? No. I mean, they're so malnourished at this point that that is what their natural reaction was. And it's not like, you know, we didn't have multivitamin. We didn't have any quick solution like that. And so that was really sad and frustrating to me. And it almost felt like the animals were suffering, but there was nothing I could do. And so I didn't like that piece at all.
While you were there for about the 3 months, what lessons did you learn and how did you take those back to your own cow herd and moving forward, just leaving cattle?
So one of the things that I think I learned was the role of a veterinarian. So on the ranch we were on, there was a town probably 30-ish miles away, but there was no vet there. So the vet came in from 2.5 hours. So the only time we called the vet was we had twins with multiple heads and legs, kind of conjoined, but one body, and we had to cut that out of a cow. And so we called the vet for that. But that was literally the only time the vet would come to the operation. And so I could see immediately the missing pieces of that when the vet was not arriving, you know, and they just didn't have much of a relationship with the vet. So we weren't giving many vaccines, nothing to that nature. The other thing is I really liked the concept of co-op herds. And I talked to my seed stock producers about that all the time, the seed stock producers we do marketing for, is I thought it was such a cool partnership. And I also think that there is some benefit and some marketing potential to saying you raise all the animals, you see them all born, because there are some things missed when it is someone else who's managing the livestock. I think just naturally, right? When it's your baby, your animals, there is a little bit more attention to detail, right or wrong. And so some things are missed. And so I thought that that concept was really cool. Also, this seed stock producer at that time had a majority share in the market. He sold thousands of bulls every year. So he kind of had the market. And so it was amazing just what I know about seed stock producers in the US compared to like the records and stuff I was seeing there, they felt probably 10 years behind on nutrition and probably 10 years ahead on like reproduction side. They were doing a lot of embryo transfer, a lot of stuff like that, even on commercial cows that were not raising registered calves. And I would say 10, 11 years ago in the US, we were not doing a ton of that on the commercial side. It was really all on the registered side. So there was just a lot of things to learn. And the other thing, of course, that I learned is you really have to have someone who works for you that cares. One of the stories that frustrated me the most, I remember writing home to my dad, was we had a calf that was probably 3/4 of the way out of a cow. And the facilities were pretty, like, we didn't have a standard chute. Like, we were doing the best we could, but it was kind of rough in several senses. And so this calf was hanging out. I think at the time it was probably still alive, but the cow had jumped the fence. And so she's roaming like on this big country and we're a four-wheelers. And I remember Ben saying like, she's going to get an infection. Like, we got to get this calf out. So we're doing everything we could. Like, we had to call in help. And we probably were 2 or 3 hours of trying to get her in. And the ranch manager called a meeting and said, we all have to come to this meeting. We're like, we can't. Like, we have to deal with this. And so the ranch manager called the meeting. So every day in Australia, they have tea, where it's like, you stop for an hour and you have tea and biscuits. And I remember Ben and I thinking, this is the craziest thing. Like, we have work to do and not that much daylight. And so he called the meeting and we said, we can't come. And he said, you have to, or you're going to be fired. And I remember the moral struggle between this, because we knew what the right thing to do was to take care of the cow. But we also had an obligation, as he was our leader, to follow his instruction. So we did go have a short meeting, but that was one of the moments where I just was like, you have got to be kidding me. One of the things that was really interesting is there was a lot of kangaroos, obviously. And kangaroos can snap hot wire. Well, the whole facility is built on hot wire. So we had all the cows as they were calving in this tiny little lot. As soon as they'd calve, we would kick them out, and then 3 days later, kick them out, and then a week later, kick them out even farther. So we just had all these little pens, but the kangaroos would come along and snap the fences. And so every day felt like this struggle and this journey of where were these cattle and did they get moved? And I know at the main place, one of the things that was really frustrating is a lot of bred cattle got moved to the calving pen with the wrong calf. So then you'd show up and there would be a fresh calf and you don't know who the mom is and all that. And again, this is a registered operation. So we're trying to keep really detailed records. We're trying to do birth weights, everything like that. But like I said, I'll share some photos. The country was really pretty and the quality of cattle was really good. We're just lots of learning experience, lots of like management of people relationships, lots of controlling the controllables. It's just a ton of life lessons. It was one of my most, I know I'm talking about kind of the frustrating things, but it was definitely one of my most favorite college experiences.
You've mentioned a few of the differences between Australian agriculture and American agriculture, but what was like overall image? What did you see was different? How do you think, what are some of their positives and what are some of the positives here?
In Australia, it feels like a very individual game. So like each ranch is kind of just ranching. In the US, it feels like we are ranchers. So it feels like a little bit more uniform. It also feels like that there's a lot more options in the US, which is good. There's a lot more seed stock producers. Like in Australia, they have very limited resources. Like some semen's not exportable, you know, from the US. And so that part really felt different. Also, one of my favorite differences is the way they haul cattle. I think I have a picture. It's like two semi-trucks combined with a little wooden board in between them. So the cattle move themselves across this little board. It was the craziest thing. When they pulled up, I was like, no way. And sure enough, they loaded them right up. But it was one of those things where I thought, this is really not safe. We need to probably get a little better trucks. But yeah, in the US, it feels like, one, we have more options. Probably I don't want to say more research. So my friend, Bailey Engel, who was on my livestock judging team, she really liked, I don't know if my experience was the sole reason she went, but she actually did her postdoc in Australia and she lived there for several years and in like on a station, so on a cattle ranch. And so she has some really cool things to say, but I would say like education-wise, they are probably a little bit behind. They just don't have as many resources. We have a lot of land-grant universities here. We have a lot of upcoming research. We have a lot of different companies. And so it felt, like I said, kind of behind, especially on nutrition. But reproduction, they were really, I mean, almost everyone there AI'd in some capacity. And I would say that's not the case in the United States. I think the best thing, and I could tell stories till I'm blue in the face, I thought about reaching out to Ben. So maybe I'll see if I can get a hold of Ben and have him come on the podcast and see, again, it was 11 years ago, and see what he remembers. But the big things that I learned is you got to be uncomfortable. We were uncomfortable in a good way the entire time. I never felt unsafe. I never felt nervous, nothing like that. On the way home, it was a little scary. I'll tell that story really quick. So I had to throw my pants away because they molded, because there's no dryer. And I'm not even kidding. I think it rained every day. It rained constantly. And we would hang them up, but you only have so much fire. And the pants just never got quite dry. So on the way home, I took a bus to a hostel. And then I stayed in the hostel overnight before I got on the airplane. That was quite a situation. It was not my best experience. And Ben was staying for a couple weeks. Ben was actually going to grad school. So he was getting his master's, I think, in reproduction from OSU. That was his next plan. So he had just graduated. I was a junior. And so he stayed behind. But that experience of the bus was not that great. But it just, you have to do the uncomfortable. You have to be brave. You have to reach out to people. You have to ask questions. Because again, I mean, I tell the team all the time, it was one of the best things I did, especially in agriculture. And it taught me so much. One, being in a foreign country, I think any time by yourself without, you know, people who've traveled more than you is really great. But just seeing a different perspective of agriculture is so important. We can kind of get holed up in our world. And I call that nose to the grindstone. It's like our nose is so close to what we're doing that it's hard to pick up and see the 50,000 foot view. And that is one thing that traveling outside the US and working on another operation has taught me. Great. I think that's all. I'll put some photos and some things like that in the show notes in case you guys want to take a look. Thanks again for listening to the Cattleman U podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. We are thankful to have you in your community. Like always, remember, the grass is greener where you water it.